be seated. Our text that forms the basis for our meditation encouragement this morning on this first Sunday in Lent are the inspired words recorded by Moses in chapter 3 of Genesis. And for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. This is our text. So, what happened? Why is it that we're born naked, but we're buried with clothes on? We come into the world with our birthday suits and we leave the world fully clothed. What's going on here? Well, didn't the same thing happen to our first parents in paradise? God created them naked and they weren't ashamed, but before they were escorted out of the garden, He clothed them. God clothed them. Luther once quipped that before the fall, if God were to line up 100 women and men, buck naked, they would not blush. They would not be ashamed, even if they stood in one another's presence all day long. What happened? But that was before the fall, when God created everything perfect and good. And they loved it. Now we have to teach about modesty. Now we have to use the sixth commandment. Now we have to take great care and guard the gift of our bodies. Nudity never has a place now in public, ever. Jesus even said that when you look at a person with lust, you're guilty of adultery in the heart, and Paul has to write now, let nothing filthy come out of your baptized mouths, sons and daughters of God. Like every sin, we need a covering. It didn't used to be that way. God made Adam and Eve out of the dust and breathed into them the breath of life. And later He took a rib out of Adam's side and formed the first woman. And then He married them and He told them to have kids. They were not ashamed. Why would they be? Of everything He made, they were the crown of His creation. They were the apple of His eye. Made in His image, He made them. Perfect. And they were content. Male and female, He made them. And it was good. It was very good. Now, though, even for newlyweds, it takes a bit of time to shrug off the shame of standing before one another in wedded bliss. But the sin of Adam and Eve caused something more than embarrassment of not having any clothes on. The truth is, they were trying to hide their shame and guilt of disobeying God's word. Oh, they knew it. They did not need their eyes open to this. So Adam just blabs out something about being naked. It's not a sin. That was just the surface stuff. A little bit deeper, though, he did not want to have that come to Jesus time. He did not want to see God nor have conversation. And so, he grabs Eve by the hand and they run. They run away from God. But the Lord comes and he hears the sound of his voice in the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat? Busted. You are in so much trouble. It is going to take a miracle to get you out of this. And that's exactly what happened. Rather than the Holy God blast them out of his presence, the Lord God spoke to them about the promised seed who would come from Eve. The seed of the woman who would bruise the head of the devil. The head who brought all of this shame and sin into God's perfect world, into their perfect world. And before they left that wonderful place they called home, God made clothes for them and sent them along with the promise. Just like he came to our first parents, God comes to us. Not only to chasten and correct and guide and lead, but also to comfort the heart of faith. And to every descendant after Adam comes the promise of the Savior. God's not going to leave them behind the rock either. And when God finally came to save the world, rather than the world see him in all of his splendor and might and omniscience and live in terror of God being with them, God comes veiled, clothed in a body. As the Advent hymn sings, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. St. Paul writes, the second Adam comes, Jesus Christ, into the world as a man to undo what the first Adam dreadfully messed up. But this second Adam, Jesus, he wasn't a fashion statement. In fact, he was dressed up in humility. And although he had no sin, he takes our shame, our guilt, on himself. And he pays the debt to sin that our and our nakedness before God. Jesus does. And so he marched right up to the cross, stripped of all of his glory, and trusting the Father for us, he didn't run and hide. Not anymore. No, he was stricken. He was smitten. He was afflicted by God. Now man's sin was going to be properly covered. Not by their own doing, but by God's. God gave us his Son so that we no longer have to run away and we can always be comforted. Jesus is risen from the dead. And because of that, we know that by his stripes we are healed. And we know that the Lamb has covered all our bases. And so now he strips us from the fleshly garments of our sin. And in their place, he puts on us the unspotted garments of salvation. God clothes us with Christ. God dresses the baptized with faith and hope and love. So that with Paul, when we die, we shed these bodies, we don't look to be found further naked, but further clothed on the day of the resurrection, when we'll receive new bodies without any sin. And there, in heaven, we and all the redeemed are promised to see God face to face without any shame, without any guilt, no remorse. St. John asks in Revelation for us, who are all these gathered around the throne and the Lamb in white robes. Well, these are the ones who had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's why they're before the throne of God day and night and for all eternity. Paradise restored. And so we believe. And so we trust. And so we pray before coming to the Lord's Supper again today, remove from us, O God, the spotted garments of our flesh, and place on us the righteous robe of Jesus Christ's redeeming love for us and for our salvation. Amen. Blessed Lent, in Jesus' name, amen.